Well, happy Palm Sunday, Devin. It's good to see you today. If you're new, welcome. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm not sure if you've ever thought about things this way, but I've been wondering why the church really doesn't celebrate Palm Sunday like the other significant events in Jesus' life. You ever wonder about that? I mean, can you imagine not celebrating his birth? I mean, what would it be like if we never had Christmas? Always winter, but never Christmas, right? And then there's Easter, right? When we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, it'll be here next weekend with chocolate eggs, marshmallow peeps, and hot cross buns. Not quite things that represent the resurrection, are they? But they do taste yummy all the same. But to me, I think, you know, Palm Sunday gets a bum rap. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what Palm Sunday is about, let me explain. Palm Sunday is the day when we commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, where he presented himself to the people as God's promised Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew word for anointed. And anointed means being consecrated, being set apart for God's holy service. The Greek word for Messiah is Christos, which in English translates as Christ. Now, most people think that that was Jesus' surname, Mr. Christ. No, it was not. It was his title. He was Jesus, the Anointed One. The Jewish people had been waiting literally for centuries for the Messiah to come, their Messiah, their Savior, their Redeemer to come. But because it had taken so long that they weren't really ready for him when he did come. They were just going about their normal, everyday lives. There was nothing really special about the day before Jesus showed up. That's just what Jesus seems to do. Have you ever noticed that it seems to be in those ordinary day-to-day living times that God likes to turn our worlds upside down and interject with something that's absolutely extraordinary? I have. And that's what I see happening on that first Palm Sunday in the lives of Jesus' followers. It seems like just another ordinary day, walking, you know, from village to village with Jesus, but then he turns that into something extraordinary. The account we're going to look at today was actually recorded by Jesus' follower named Mark. And he writes this: as Jesus and his followers were coming closer to Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany near the house, the Mount of Olives, pardon me. From there, Jesus sent two of his followers and said to them, go to the town you can see there. When you enter, you will quickly find a colt tied, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here to me. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, tell him its master needs a colt and he will send it at once. Followers went to the town, found a colt tied in the street near the door of the house and untied it. Some people were standing there and asked, what are you doing? Why are you untying that colt? The followers answered the way Jesus told them to answer, and the people let them take the colt. They brought the colt to Jesus, put their coats on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their coats on the road. Others cut branches in the fields and spread them on the road. The people were walking ahead of Jesus and behind him, shouting, praise God! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the kingdom of our father David. That kingdom is coming. Praise to God in heaven. Now, as you remember, I mentioned that it had started. It was just another day, right? And just another day for Jesus' followers. But you might think, wait a minute. There's no such thing as just another day when you're walking around with Jesus, right? Anything can happen. when he's around. And you're absolutely right. In fact, earlier that day, you know, just one of the normal things, Jesus went and healed a man from blindness. Right? Every day with Jesus was an adventure for his followers. But what we need to realize today is that if you're a follower of Jesus, then you're walking with him every day too. Am I right? That means that any day something amazing can happen. Amen? And I believe that sometimes the most wondrous things can come from the most mundane tasks or simple requests. And that's what we see in our text today. And that's our first point, is it was just a simple order he gave them. Jesus and his crew were traveling together as they always did. They were on their way to the big city to celebrate the Jewish Passover festival that was approaching. Then Jesus gives them a simple but an odd job. Find a colt, bring it here to me. What I want you to notice is that sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it can seem to come out of the blue and might even seem a little odd. You may be just going about your business as usual, at work, at school, at home, and then you suddenly sense something, like a gentle nudge in your spirit. Maybe you notice something different about someone. They're not their usual self. Maybe their eyes seem to be puffy, like they've been crying. Or maybe it's someone you've never even met before, but they just seem to have caught your attention for some reason, and you feel that you should say something or do something for them. When we get that inkling, why don't we act on it? Too often we don't. Why? Why don't we act on that thing, that feeling? Why do we let that opportunity pass by? I think there's a couple reasons, at least from my own life, there's a couple that I can identify right away. And there are actually two things that the Lord deals with in our text. The first is that we're really not sure what to do, right? We just don't know what to do in the situation. When you get that feeling, but you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is ask Jesus. Why do I feel this way, Lord? What do you want me to do? Ask him. He knows exactly what you should do. In our text, Jesus shows his followers that he already knows what's going to happen, what they need to do, right? In whatever situation, by guiding them through the entire process ahead of time. Again, verse 2, it says, when you enter it, the town, you will quickly find a colt tied, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here to me. Doesn't that sound simple enough? Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You do not need to be a Bible expert to untie a donkey. You don't. I know some of you are shocked. And surprisingly, there are times when you don't even need to say a word to help another person. I think that too often we fail at even the simplest tasks because we're afraid that it's going to turn into something that we won't be able to finish. I love how Jesus gives them, really, it seems like this apparently insignificant detail, right, that the colt has never been ridden. Now, they may have been thinking, like when he says, go grab a donkey. Okay, this is a small town in Israel, Jesus. There's donkeys tied up everywhere, right? Which one do we bring? He already knows and gives them the answer. And so this tells me Jesus knows what we'll be facing, what I could be facing, and he already knows how to deal with it. Which actually helps me with the next excuse I often use. We don't want to look like a fool, right? I don't know why, but this is the hardest one for me. I second guess myself all the time, and I want to be sure that nothing is going to go wrong. So I have a backup plan. The problem is, if I can't come up with a plan B, then I hesitate, usually until the opportunity passes by. And I missed it. Anyone else relate? I love how Jesus deals with this problem. He tells him, if anyone asks you why you're doing this, tell him its master needs the colt, and he'll send it at once. Right off the bat, I look at this and I go, wait a minute. You mean I'm going to run into opposition here just for doing this simple task? I'm just trying to do this little thing, God, that you're wanting me to do, and I'm going to face opposition for that? Why should there be any trouble if I'm doing the Lord's will? Shouldn't everything go smoothly if I'm doing it for Jesus? And you're absolutely right. If you're in the middle of God's will, everything in life should be perfect, problem-free, not. When you're in the middle of God's will, that's when you become a threat. You are in a place that the devil doesn't like. So you should expect some opposition. Because we see that Jesus expected it, right? He told them what to do. He prepared his followers for it. And guess what happened? Verse 5 and 6. Some people were standing there and asked, what are you doing? Why are you untying that colt? The followers answered the way Jesus told them to answer. And the people let them take the colt. Does that make any sense to you? The people just let them take it. That's what it says. Maybe they used a Jedi mind trick. You don't need this donkey. We need this donkey, or whatever. Point is, I don't know why I go off on those things sometimes. Anyways, point is, Jesus knows how to take care of the problems we are going to face. He already knows how to deal with them. You just need to trust and obey. And you'll be surprised at what can happen. Which actually brings us to our second point this morning, that Jesus' followers showed a sincere obedience. A sincere obedience. You know, it seems to show that the two followers that Jesus sent into the town just accepted what Jesus had told them to do, right? But I wonder if they talked about it on the way, right, to one another there. I sometimes wonder what their conversation might have been like. I've asked David to help me. We're just going to maybe take a couple minutes here and see if we can. I'm going to go in front of the speakers a little bit here, so you might need to just watch me for that. What it might have been like for those two disciples that day. Okay.
Hey, so why do you think Jesus asked us to do this errand?
Probably because he wants a donkey?
No, not that. Like, oh. Why us? Do you think he had a reason for it? Like, maybe you think we're his favorites or something?
I'm not really sure about that. I never really ever thought about it that way.
I mean, I wonder if Jesus, like, really meant what he said. He talks in metaphors a lot, like, just the other day, he healed a blind guy and said, the dark shall come into the light. And so maybe this is another metaphor, and he's testing us. Maybe he's testing us to see if we can figure it out. Like, hey, let's see. So a donkey is gray and has four legs. A chair has four legs. And donkeys also make, like, that sound, like that like type of sound. So maybe what Jesus is actually wanting us to get is a very squeaky gray chair. Intelligence. It surprises even me sometimes.
No, I'm pretty sure Jesus just wants us to get him a donkey.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. About that.
But what?
What do you really think about the plan?
I think we better do what we're told.
Me too. You'll actually think we'll just find a donkey just there, like the exact way he said.
I'm pretty sure that if Jesus says there's going to be a donkey, there's going to be a donkey.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but what if someone catches us stealing it?
What? We're not stealing it. We're borrowing it.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. That's, yep. No one's going to question that. We're just going to go in, find a donkey, and just take it. No one's going
to
question that.
Besides, the master said to just tell them that he needs it, and we'll bring it right back.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Do we have any sort of backup plan, just in case that doesn't work out? Just saying, hey, we're going to take this donkey. They're just going to be, okay.
Oh, wait. Quiet. We're here. Look, there it is. That's the colt. Let's go get it.
Okay, I'm right behind you. And by that, I mean...
You ever wonder what it might have really been like? Probably not that. But the thing is, when we live in obedience to God's word, what he tells us to do, folks, there's a blessing that comes with it. There can be favor that rests upon our lives, our family, our work, our relationships. God blesses those who live their lives to please him. The early church historian Luke recorded Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." How many here would love to live in the continuous presence of God's blessing? Wow. How many here would love to live in the presence of God's blessing in their lives every day? Okay, the three more of you. Good. I got a lot of preaching to do, I see. Okay. Why does it feel like sometimes we're not in that place? Right? Why does it feel that maybe sometimes we even feel like, is God working against me here? Can I give you one reason why this might be so from God's word? Because he is working against you. This is what Samuel, who is a powerful leader in ancient Israel and a prophet of God, said. He said, if you don't obey the Lord, if you rebel against what he says, then the Lord will be against you. When we live our lives one way, our own way, according to our own rules, God can and will work against us. Even if there's nothing apparently bad about what we're doing, it's just not what we're supposed to be doing. Point is that there might be something in your life that you know the Lord has told you to do, but you're not doing it. And until you give in and obey him, you won't be able to accomplish anything significant for him. The Bible tells us significance comes from obeying the simple. Simple tasks. The simple tasks. When we're faithful in the simple things, God will trust us with bigger things. That's what Matthew recorded Jesus teaching in Matthew 25:21. The master answered, "You did well. You're a good and loyal servant. Because you were loyal with small things, I will let you care for much greater things." And this is what Jesus' followers, I think, experienced that day. He had given them a simple task. And because they were obedient, they experienced our third point, which was a significant outcome. A significant outcome. Again, have you ever noticed Jesus has a knack for making the simple into something significant? That's what we see in our text, right? In these few verses, we find three significant results of his followers' obedience. The first is that his coming was honored. Jesus' coming was honored. The act of spreading cloaks on the ground before someone is a time-honored expression of showing reverence for them. It's similar to, sort of like the red carpet that's used today to significant or to show the significance or the importance of a person, right? Our text says many people spread their coats on the road. You know, the act of stripping off one's cloak also signified a humbling of self, revealing that the person doing that considered the one walking upon their cloak as much more important than they were. When we, as Jesus' followers, lay down the garments of our glory, our own self, laying that in the dust before him, and walk in obedience and reverence for who he is, then he is honored in our lives and revealed through our lives. The second significant outcome is that his name was praised. The people praised Jesus. It says that the people in the streets shouted out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, Hosanna is another Hebrew word meaning, "Save us, we pray." It was a cry for deliverance that the people, the Jewish people at that time knew could only be answered by God. So through this simple declaration, Hosanna, the crowd was acknowledging Jesus as God's promised Messiah. Their praise of Jesus was a prophetic declaration, and it made the religious leaders of that time very upset. Only God was worthy of the praise that they were bestowing upon Jesus. Only God could deliver. Only God could save, and they were right. And through this event, Jesus was showing the world that he was, is, and always will be God. The third result was that his kingdom was acknowledged. Kingdom was acknowledged. The other thing that the crowd shouted was, "Bless the kingdom of our father David." Now, the Jewish people, again, knew the prophecies in their ancient scriptures, and they understood that the prophet Isaiah, what he had written, that Messiah will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. It's understood that many in the crowd that day could only envision a physical kingdom. The famous King David, the shepherd king of the past, his kingdom being reestablished to save them from the Roman occupation that they were in. But Jesus made it clear that his kingdom was not of this world. Luke recorded Jesus saying that. People can't observe the coming of the kingdom of God. They can't say, "Here it is," or "There it is." You see, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus came to establish a kingdom that would last forever. And the only way for him to do that was to save us from our true enemies, sin and death. And this is what the next weekend is all about. Jesus died on Good Friday, paid for our sin, and he rose from the grave on Easter morning to give us new and eternal life, to defeat death and give us life with him. And so, on this Palm Sunday of 2024, where are you at today? Are you already a follower of Jesus? living a simple, in simple obedience to his word, to leading of his spirit within you. As we've seen today, Jesus can and will take your simple obedience and use it in a significant way. We often have no idea how and when God is moving, do we? But he is in our lives and through our lives. But he will use you if you humbly accept and obey what he tells you to do. Or maybe you're here today and you've never made that connection that Jesus is, in fact, God who came to earth to save you from the penalty and the power of sin in your life that leads to death. People in our text today gave Jesus a royal welcome to their city, but failed to receive him into their hearts. And thus, missed the opportunity, their opportunity, to enter that kingdom, his kingdom. In the Bible's book of Revelation, John records Jesus saying, "Listen, I'm standing and knocking at your door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." I want to give you the opportunity to take the step the crowd failed to take that day and invite Jesus into your life as Savior and King. If you do, he will save you from sin so you can live forever with him in his kingdom. And if this is the desire of your heart today, then I invite you to pray along with me right now as we all bow our heads together. If you do that, please, and just pray along with me. Dear God, I understand that if I want your blessings in my life, I need to have a relationship with you. Not just know about you, but know you and be known by you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming as Messiah, become my Savior and my King. Now I understand that it was your love for me that led you to the cross to die in my place and to save me from the power of sin over my life. God, I'm sorry that I've been unaware and even ignoring you in my life so far. Please forgive me. I accept your offer to come into your kingdom, and you come into my life today and ask you to lead me from now on and forever. Please help me to love you more, and learn more about you, and help me to do what you ask me to do. Help me to share what I've done today and share about your love with the other people in my life so they too can receive you and into their lives as well. Thanks, God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the band gets ready to finish with another song, if you did give your life to Jesus today, could you please let me know before you leave today? Or you can fill in one of the connect cards in the seat in front of you, on the back of the seat, or online connected to the stream. There's a link there, and you can just take that and drop it off or fill it out. And we'd love to connect with you, provide some resources that can help you. Also, I want to encourage you to invite someone next weekend, both on Good Friday, 10 a.m. Good Friday at River of Hope, and the kids here at Devon Community Church, as Miranda said earlier this morning. But also on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Easter here, we're going to have a bit of a continental potluck brekkie, so you can come early and stay late, visit, get to know some of the folks. And as well, we're going to be praying about that and for that tonight here at 6:30, praying for next weekend. So I hope to see you at some of those things.